And a welcome to each and every one of our listeners today on this Thursday, May the 2nd in the year of our Lord 2013. And we really do appreciate that you called in, and we appreciate your listening to us on this Thursday, which is also a day of ruminations, which means that we welcome into our studio the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. And how are you doing?
Staying dry.
Yes, I know it's going to get some more rain here, and the Mississippi won't be down till Friday, they said.
Well, parts of the Illinois are still out of its banks. I was able to get across the bridge and do a private communion over in Fulton County on the west side of the Illinois today.
Now, they closed the bridge because was the bridge itself covered with water, was so high, or when you got across the bridge, it was covered with water?
Well, actually, the bridge is high enough that wouldn't affect the flooding, but
okay.
On the west side, on 136, the water had gone across the road.
Wow.
Because there's a river that comes in, the Spoon River comes into the Illinois, and then they got what's called Lacey's Ditch that feeds off of that, too. Both sides of it had flooded and gone across the road, and they didn't want people going across the road.
Wow. Well, without further ado, I want to get to the first topic, and this is one that you had sent me, which I find very interesting. Let me just read just one section of this, just so people understand what we're going to be coming up against. Weinstein, head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, says Christians, including chaplains, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the military are guilty of treason and of committing an act of spiritual rape as serious a crime as sexual assault. He also expressed that Christians sharing their faith in the military are enemies of the Constitution. And the Pentagon released a statement confirming that soldiers could be prosecuted for promoting their faith. What is going on here, Wes?
You got me on that one. Of course, Weinstein is part of an anti-Christian extremist group, and I look at it as he's promoting a religion of his own, in this case, anti-Christian religion. And why they are allowing him to promote his viewpoint over and against the other viewpoints is not, that's the real enemy of the Constitution, is allowing somebody else to trample on the rights of others.
Well, this is a very interesting paragraph. So President Barack Obama's civilian appointees who lead the Pentagon are confirming that the military will make it a crime, possibly resulting in imprisonment, for those in uniform to share their faith. This would include chaplains, military officers who are ordained clergymen of their faith, mostly Christian priests, Jewish rabbis, whose duty since the founding of the U.S. military under George Washington is to teach their faith and minister to the spiritual needs of troops who come to them for counsel, instruction, or comfort. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, this just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It's a full onslaught of anti-Christian rhetoric. At first, when I looked at it, I thought, it's not that. You know, if you do it with the Christians, the Jewish, the Muslims, all of them, there can be such a thing that if we turn more anti-Christian, that it helps protect the Christian that's in a situation like this. But that's not what it's sounding like. It's sounding like they're going to go after any Christian. And what's the nature of a pastor anyway but to proclaim Jesus Christ risen?
Yeah, absolutely. From my point of view, this really is part of the gay movement that is fostered, of course, by the President of the United States, because I know some chaplains. In fact, I've interviewed some on here, one named Jim Norton, some of you may remember. And if they are told that when they're ministering to a gay person, the way they would properly minister is to help him get out of that terrible condition, that abomination before Almighty God. And, of course, gay people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that it is a sin before Almighty God, and therefore a chaplain who says something like that, they're going to construe as hate speech or something. And I think that's really behind a lot of this, because proper Christian pastors would be speaking out against abortion, gay marriage, homosexuality, these kinds of things, which now it appears that the military has no problem with.
I see where you're coming from, because the article does talk about rape and sexual assault.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're at it in the gay area.
Right, right. Well, they've launched a petition here which has collected over 30,000 signatures, calling on Secretary Hagel to stop working with Weinstein and his anti-Christian organization to develop military policy regarding religious faith. Now, whether or not that's going to happen or not, but I think we're getting to a point when even you and I as Christian pastors, there are going to be some who are going to try and force us to, say, conduct a gay marriage if the Supreme Court rules that that's all right.
And I think, you know, you probably got a good handle on it, because isn't that what goes on in Canada? You cannot even put a billboard out in a church that talks about that God says homosexuality is wrong?
Yes, there was a pastor there who got fined by the government because all he put on his billboard were Old Testament quotations against homosexuality, and they called it hate speech. However, in talking to, listening to one of the Canadian presidents up there of the church, they said they haven't really been forced to do things that are against their conscience. And I think in the United States we'd have even a better opportunity. Have there been occasions when you have refuse to do a marriage for various reasons?
Yes, you know, I would have to say that those that I ran up against, I sat down with the couple. In fact, very early on in my ministry, the couple came in and talked to me, and I hadn't heard from them for a couple of weeks, and I finally called up the young lady. And all I'd asked was a series of questions about their sexuality and the premarital counseling and how God looks at it and things like that. And I wasn't seeking their answers. I was giving them parts of scriptures and study with one another.
Yes.
Come to find out, she said he was both ways. He wanted to enter into a heterosexual relationship with her, and then found out he was also gay at the same time. And
yeah,
thing exploded.
Yes, you see, it is a tradition in the church that you don't have to marry just anybody who comes. Now, we know there are some marrying Sams. I knew one Lutheran pastor that he would marry anybody, but he wouldn't marry them in the church. He had a garden outside, and there he felt he was just kind of like a justice of the peace, and he wouldn't do any vows that were Christian or anything like that. But, you see, God does recognize marriages apart from having to be done in the Christian church.
Right.
Because marriage is a secular item. The only thing that God insists on is that it's a man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman. But if we're taking a look at our history, pastors have been able to refuse to marry even members of their own congregation for various reasons.
I would agree.
So I just cannot imagine how anyone in the military is going to be kept from speaking about their faith. It's just, especially in the United States where you have freedom of speech.
Right, I think this is, I'm of the opinion that Weinstein's got his own religion, so to speak, whatever you'd want to call it, Weinstein's religion. Yeah, he's doing the same thing, and why his religion is better than another religion really goes against free speech.
Yes. See, the Pentagon is against what they call proselytization, and it does depend on how you understand that. If you're talking about coercion, then, of course, that would be wrong. Let's say a sergeant says, if you don't go to worship on Sunday morning, you're going to have to, you know, clean the room 40 times or something like that. That would be wrong type of witnessing.
Right. I would agree with you. In fact, many years ago, I did my little brother's wedding. He was in the Air Force up there in off of the air base in Omaha area, Omaha, Nebraska. And the clergy, the military clergy, were very open about, you know, he's Lutheran, Missouri Synod, you let him do his thing in the chapel.
Right.
The problem I had was with the organist. The organist was of the other Lutheran persuasion and saw no wrong in doing secular music as part of the wedding. And I said, no, you know, the chaplains walked in and said, no, that's their faith. We honor that, you know. So they're very good, the chaplains, about not interfering or proselytizing, you know, and putting their viewpoints onto others. They're very open with letting a faith work, a person from their religion work with their people.
Well, you know how I think. Namely, I believe that every false teaching and every false notion cannot remain consistent. But you know what I would do if I was a chaplain and that rule came down that I couldn't exercise my faith? What I would do is, let's say I did have some homosexual soldiers, I would treat them very badly. I would say bad things about them, and I would say all kinds of stuff. And then when I'm called before, say, the authorities, and they say, why are you doing that? And you say, well, that's not really how I feel, but you told me I can't exercise my faith and love these men, so I'm doing according to what you said.
Not love, huh? Only you would think of that, Tom.
Well, if you're not allowed to exercise your faith, and in the Christian faith we're to love all people, and if you're not allowed to exercise that, well, then you have to show unlove.
No, you are correct. I mean, once you leave behind God,
yes,
in this instance, a Christian religion, what's next? Anything.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm really thinking of starting a website where I speak as an evolutionist all the time, where there is no God. Frankly, you should be allowed to do anything you want as long as you can get away with it. Because
right.
It's survival of the fittest. If there is no God, there is no morality. And we're already seeing the survival of the fittest with abortion. Babies aren't fit to fight against them being killed. And so, you know, committing murder against babies in the womb is really part of the evolutionary point of view, because there's no God who, you know, would say that these are truly human beings. You know, it's really amazing. You can be put in jail if you destroy the egg of an eagle. But if you destroy a human being in the womb, you're praised.
You're praised. It is a turned upside down world. Which, by the way, before we get too far afield away from the military, Christians are very supportive of government laws, especially as they fulfill or are congruent with God's will. Romans chapter 13, you know, we are subject to our governing authorities, except in this instance where they're saying disobey God.
Well, we have an exact parallel in the Bible, if you'll recall, where the apostles were told by the ruling authorities that they ought not preach Christ. And remember, was it Peter who said, we must obey
God rather than man?
Yes. This is exactly what this would be like. So if I was a chaplain in the armed forces, I wouldn't follow that rule at all about keeping quiet about the faith, because the only way I can keep quiet about it, as I already gave you an instance, is to act contrary to it. Our faith forms all of our behavior. So if we can't do it, then guess what? We have to be quite contrary.
Contrary. And I got many members of my congregation. Some of them are off in military service right now. And they would gladly die for their country and follow the orders of their commanders, except when it came to giving up their faith.
Our phone numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phone lines right now, Wes, and let's talk to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on.
Pastor Baker. I'm probably mixing apples with oranges, but let me see if I can just put this in here too. I was in the military too in that. And you know, they've got, you know, talking about pricing homosexuals and all that going on in the service and all that stuff. Well, you know, when I was in the service, they put you out when you, if there's anybody like that in the service. And I was just wondering, you know, if that's the case now, what they're planning on, what they might do. This is, like I said, this might be mixing apples and oranges. I suppose it's all right now, I guess, that if some soldier or Navy guy or whatever, he just wanted to be a practicing drunk there on during his service, just drink whenever he wanted, get drunk and do anything he wanted. And, of course, that's in the same scriptures along with homosexuality and everything, so I guess that would be okay for that sailor. Or
that's another good point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, if he liked to borrow somebody's things without asking and not returning, well, that's quite all right, because, I mean, he's got a right to do that. I mean, that's just the way he is, you know. So I'm going to let you comment on this. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling there, Bill. And you see his point he's making. All of our ethical behavior we'd have to reverse, Wes.
Yes. Yeah, he makes a great point. You know, you can, what's one, and you said it before too, you know, what's one aberration or sin or way of thought any worse than another way of thought?
Exactly. So that where our Christian faith teaches us to love even our enemies, well, we would, under the present law then, we wouldn't have to follow that anymore.
No.
Because that would be witnessing our Christian faith.
Yeah. Well, or just what I said before out of Romans chapter 13. As a Christian, we are subject to governing authorities.
Yes.
If we're not to witness our Christian faith, then we're not, what, to be subject to our governing authorities. It just said that in Romans 13:1.
Exactly. You see, God has set up a system. It's like a human body. If you do some bad things to your body, like take drugs, you're going to get negative effects. And that works on a worldwide level also, that unethical behavior. For example, the gay movement, you know, people are saying, well, you know, so many are for it now, we might as well let it go. That has the potential of really hurting children, first of all. But, of course, with abortion today, it's obvious that governmental authorities don't care that much about children. I mean, it's just so ridiculous that in the Boston bombing, they keep mentioning that 8-year-old that was bombed, you know, when the bomb was put near him and
right.
He died. Well, what's the difference between that and what a doctor does in going within a womb and killing a baby? There is
right.
No difference. And the fact that they can't see that shows how far they have left God.
And wasn't it, you were telling me the other day, there was a gal, Molly Hemingway, that talked about, that kind of brought this to the forefront of a case of that happening, where there was a guy doing abortions and he's up on murder now?
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's where we Lutherans and any other Christians who feel strongly about what God has to say in His Word, that's where we need to really be about the business of sharing our faith with others. And that doesn't stop when you become part of the military.
That's right.
Can you imagine you're fighting a war and the person next to you gets shot and they're near death, and he says, would you say a prayer for me? And you say, I'm sorry, the sergeant said I'm not allowed to do that.
Yeah, right. I could get court-martialed for this.
Yeah, I could get court-martialed for that. And so now we'll just, you know, I can't even witness to you about the way you could be saved, you know, because although I'm concerned that you may be going to hell, I'm unable to say anything because the laws of the land are going to put me into a court-martial if I do.
And therein lies the real death.
Yes, so this is really kind of interesting that Pentagon may court-martial soldiers who share their Christian faith, and it's basically President Barack Obama's civilian appointees who are behind this. And we ought not be surprised because of many other decisions he's making that are that's obviously, you know, contrary to the will of God, such as gay marriage and so forth. But we need, as a Christian group, to stand up, much like John the Baptizer did against Herod. You know, Herod, of course, killed many babies in Bethlehem, and then he had these odd views about marriage, you know, where he could take, you know, his brother's wife, and John the Baptizer, of course, told him, no, you're not supposed to be doing that, and he was beheaded. So I'm not sure they're going to go that far to behead, but like that one brave ESPN sportscaster who referred to this basketball player who announced that he was a gay, that was a sin for him to participate in that, that ESPN fella is coming under all kinds of attack personally. And that's what we need to be helping our fellow Christians to stand
helping
up against.
Helping our fellow Christians, I think we need to be writing our U.S. senators, our House of Rep people, and tell them that, you know, we abhor this kind of talking. It's really taking away our right of free speech and being able to witness.
Yeah, and
people know how to say no if they don't want it.
Yes, and the main way to do that, of course, and we're definitely for, you know, voting people out of office who are destroying the country. And all you have to do is look at the history of the world and see how many nations who were grand became really in poverty because of unethical practices that they began to be doing, which is contrary to the natural law of God. So what we're saying here, just like a human body, you know, you can impede the way it works by doing things to it, so also a nation, a government, it can be impeded because of the natural laws that God has put into place.
I agree. Very well said.
And we talk about conscience, you know, and the worst people are those who don't have a conscience. They don't have any problem putting people to death like these doctors. You know what amazes me, Wes, is that a Jewish doctor could be an abortionist.
Hmm.
If you stop and think about that, because the big thing they like saying is never again. But all they have to do is look at the nearest abortion clinic, and if it's not a Jewish doctor doing it, there's Jewish females being killed and
males. That's right.
Yeah, so this idea of never again, that's just a joke. You know, if you're pro-abortion, you don't believe that anymore.
That's right.
You're ready to do it because you don't have any need to have this child, and it's, you know, survival of the fittest. I don't think people realize how bad evolution has corrupted the world in its thinking and in its philosophy. But
yeah, before we, you know, we're getting close to our half hour over, but it's always a reminder, when Jesus died on the cross, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
He took all the sins, including the abortionists, the homosexuality, all these sins. He died on the cross for our forgiveness, for the world's forgiveness.
Yeah, a way I like saying that is, unlike many evangelicals who say, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. See, they make a condition of your sins.
Right.
We believe that your sins have been forgiven, therefore believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Exactly. Correct.
It's a totally different way of thinking. But, of course, now if I was a military chaplain, I could forget about that because it would be against the law for me to practice my Christian faith.
Yeah, especially if somebody has a troubled conscience. How can you get them out of that troubled conscience but through the forgiveness?
And the hope that we give to Christians is God's still in charge, and he just may be permitting the add-on of all these horrible things. I was just at a dentist's office today and talking to one of the secretaries who was just bemoaning the fact of what the government is doing in many of these areas. And the hope I gave her is that, you know, once it gets bad enough, people will wake up and vote maybe people into office who are much more in line with God than what we have right now.
I agree.
And that's our hope. And if not, then the country will fall like the fall of the Roman Empire. And then maybe the new place will be in Africa or South America or some other place like that, where a nation becomes grand. But there's no promise that God says that United States is his special country and he's going to take care of us. If we as Christians fall into the devil's way of thinking in regard to these ethical situations, then we have no one to blame but ourselves.
And I agree.
All you got to do is read Jeremiah to find that.
Yep.
Okay, when are your worship services this Sunday?
Saturday.
Oh, yes.
At 6 p.m. and Sunday at 7:45 and 10:15, corner of Pearl and Market Street, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Havana.
And what are you kind of doing right now in a Bible study?
We're just finishing up Angel of Angels.
Okay.
With Kurofsky.
Yes.
And so we're going to be looking at a couple, you know, current event topics. Like this may be one, the Pentagon thing. How should the Christian respond?
Good.
We'll do a couple of weeks and then get into another series.
All right. Well, that was Wes Reimnitz, folks. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel. Tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, where you can ask any question you might like. We'll look forward to hearing from you then. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.